The U.S. government evicts computer security software made by a company in Russia. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news the U.S. government will stop using antivirus software made by Kaspersky Lab. That's a prominent Russia-based cybersecurity firm. The company's software is used widely by consumers in some parts of the government. Molly Wood is the host of Marketplace Tech, our sibling program, and has been following the story.
The way that antivirus software works, or can work, is that it's scanning every single piece of information on a computer, looking for malware or a virus. So the technical question here is whether Kaspersky's antivirus software, when it is constantly scanning the contents of a computer, is also gathering information from that computer or from the network it's running on and sending it back to a government agency. So as some commenters have pointed out, even if Kaspersky software is not running as a Trojan horse right now, let's say our relationship with Russia deteriorates. It's possible the Russian government could insert a malicious update or surveillance features into computers that are already running on thousands, if not millions, of computers, including some in the government.
Kaspersky Lab has denied colluding with the Russian government and says it's disappointed with Homeland Security's decision. Consumers can still use it. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 4 points. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are down a bit, with the Dow future down 5 points. Nasdaq futures are down 0.1%. There's news Amazon is planning a new mega warehouse in Mexico, 1 million square feet. In just 2 years, Amazon has become Mexico's third largest retailer. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
Less than 3% of retail sales in Mexico happen online, compared to more than 10% in the U.S. But David Bernardo, a Mexico-based e-commerce consultant, says that's changing as a growing middle class spends more money online.
I think it's about time that companies in the U.S. start taking the Mexican market seriously.
There are still barriers. Analyst Lily Varone with Forrester Research says many Mexican consumers don't have credit cards. Online retailers work around that by allowing customers to pay cash on delivery or at nearby convenience stores. But she says there's also a trust gap.
From a consumer standpoint, I don't trust that my package is going to get to me, that it's going to get to me in good condition, or that even if it is delivered, that it will be there when I get home.
But Mexico has another thing going for it, Varone says. Its young population of what she calls born digital consumers who are more comfortable shopping online. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
This morning, we'll get the government's key reading on inflation at the consumer level. It's probably not especially high. Once inflation was the central topic of discussion in America, the way we natter on about our smartphones now. Now it seems it's mainly the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve who are obsessed. Let's get Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell in on this.
Inflation has been going nowhere for the past 5 years. This week's number is particularly important because describe 5 years as temporary starts stretching the imagination. And there's a number of the Fed people who are pushing back, like Lael Brainard. She's a Fed governor, and she's come out and said, look, maybe inflation isn't coming back. Maybe people just don't expect rising prices.
But it's not insane to be wary of inflation. I mean, you have unemployment down at 4.4%. That can push up wages. Big story of the year, probably, is that we learned this week from the Census Bureau that in 2016, median household income reached a new high. The last peak was in 1999.
So I think there are two things, David. One is the effect of the Great Recession and the global credit crunch on the labor market just really was devastating. And companies are still able to find people coming out of the sidelines, the shadows of our economy. And so they don't really have to raise their wages. And that's one of the things that's been going on. The other thing is something that you talk about a lot. Technological innovation, technological disruption. In a world of Amazon going after the retail world and now the grocery world, do companies really believe they can raise their prices?
Of course, Apple's trying to sell a $1,000 iPhone, but I get your point. Now, the Fed next meets September 19th and 20th. But do you think they'll have to think about these terrible storms that the Gulf Coast and Florida and beyond have endured?
It's hard to imagine that the Fed is going to raise its benchmark interest rate while we're going through this period of time of rebuilding. Plus, the data is going to be really muddied, David, because we're going to see higher gasoline prices. You'll see higher shelter prices. But underlying inflation, my guess is it's going to stay low, and the Fed will stay its hand longer than expected.
Our senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And here's the trajectory of a rocket launch of a business story that momentarily soared through the heavens but got a bit toasted on reentry. Yesterday morning, a piece in Fast Company takes off about a startup called Bodega, as in the corner store. Bodega will use tech-driven devices, boxes, to sell convenience store essentials. Some real bodegas are noted for their real pet kitty cats that preen in the window. Bodega the startup has a cat in its logo. By mid-morning, the internet is on fire about Silicon Valley-style vultures targeting their beloved independently run corner stores. There are charges of cultural appropriation. One of our Marketplace listeners tweeted saying the new company should change its name to Brodega. Others cherish the human contact. At Holly Jane tweeted us, quote, "During my loneliest days in New York, it meant so much to me to go to my bodega and see the kind faces of the owners and pet the cat." Later in the day, the CEO of Bodega apologizes for not getting the implications of the company name. He said, quote, "Challenging the urban corner store is not and has never been our goal. The idea," he says now, "is to put the Bodega units where no store currently exists." In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.